Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they are saving some stuff. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think they're trying to be fully formed by January and maybe hold back a little bit, kind of similar to Kansas City. It's a different way of thinking. You know, it's kind of like the old Greg Popovich Spurs where you spend a couple months kind of playing possum with teams. Maybe it's an excuse. There shouldn't be an excuse if they look bad in Atlanta. But I do think that the Bills are maybe holding back some stuff and that maybe they got to pull it out a little sooner than they expected.
Go Long TD's Tyler Dunn on Chopin Bulldog yesterday. I was sort of hinting at that, maybe not consciously, but I guess definitely thinking that when I was mentioning, you know, I don't want them playing their best football in September, right? I don't want them showing everything. I guess it's probably where I was more leaning towards is, yeah, you maybe hold some stuff back in September, October, and then, you know, December, January, we start to pull things, you know, out of the cupboard and really start to be fully formed. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer filling in here for One Bills Live as the Bills are on the bye week. Derek, you made a face. Do we have breaking news?
No, what are we looking at? It's a stat.
Oh, that's not great. That's going to be bad.
Eric Turner, cover one.
Going to be bad news for us.
Has a graph on plays on the ball by the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2020 through 2024... their interception numbers are around like 15 to 19.
Right, yeah.
And their pass breakups are around 30 to 45.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming those are good numbers. Yeah.
I'm going to show this to you, and nobody else is going to have the context, but this 2025 dot has barely moved off the X or Y axis.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, now...
get me a safety.
Now... you show that, and it—I mean—it is really like it's very stark. You have a bunch of them in the top right corner, and then 2025 is in the bottom left corner.
And it's six games, but also you are at less than okay. Based on the axis here and how the denominations are going, I'm looking at maybe five pass breakups all year and two interceptions.
And
one of which was by a linebacker.
And that would point to what Sal has brought up with the cornerback room of not really getting to the ball, not having any pass breakups, the turnover number, well, the takeaway numbers being down because, well, the last 2 weeks you've lost the turnover battle.
I've got Benford with zero deflections on the season.
Yeah.
I've got Terrell Bernard having one of the interceptions. Cole Bishop's the only other player that has a pick. It is the fact that you're not getting plays on the ball to a point where it is detrimental. And it is also, I've been mentioning him, Taylor Rapp. He's not on this list either. Mm. He doesn't have a play on the ball.
No, really, when you notice Rapp, it is almost never for something positive.
It is to a point now, like, I'll settle for an extra corner, honestly. But what if they trade for a corner at the trade deadline, though, it's also sending me a message that Max Hairston is probably not playing this year. I would imagine they're going to operate under the operation of we're going to get another cornerback, so we don't need to trade for one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm leaning towards safety as my dream target once again.
Yeah, there's no backup coming there. I mean, the backup is Hamlin after he's off of IR, which, and they've already kind of done that song and dance. They probably don't want to.
The problem is
probably
that
is not much improvement there.
The problem is that after week four, I was unironically asking for Hamlin to replace Rapp.
But so on safety, we've already heard multiple Bills players bring up how hard it is to learn that system and how it took time to really learn that system and to get comfortable. Rasul Douglas comes in as a corner, but he's more, you know, chaperoned essentially by the experienced safeties. I don't love it. It's not something I've ever wanted, but maybe this is why they go to a Jordan Poyer. He's experienced, and maybe he can just hold it down. Bishop make the athletic plays. I do imagine a scenario very soon where they pull the plug on Rapp. This is a miss. This is not working. And to be fair, him and Bishop just do not work well together. The combination of those two is not good.
It is becoming like last year where you have effectively two box safeties, but Bishop is becoming the more athletic one that can make a play every now and then versus Rapp, who is last year's DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah.
Where you're not counting on him to make a play.
But that's where I point to the offense of, that's where you go make – trust your all-pro quarterback. Trust your MVP quarterback, too. If he has a new toy, he's going to use him. You know, even if maybe it's not working perfectly with him in the OC, there have also been guys open that Allen is just not hitting fast enough because of the offensive line, what have you. Get more speed in the offense so that maybe you can have just quick hitters. Maybe that involves getting James Cook into the passing game again. He's had one target through the last two games.
And it's not just Cook, though. It's all of them. Ty Johnson has two catches this year.
Well, yeah, we talked about that yesterday where when he's on the field – you're pretty much showing half your hand to the defense, going, "Yeah, we're not gonna run the ball."
But also, it's an effectiveness thing. Johnson's struggling. He has two catches on seven targets.
He's not used in the offense at all.
He's not being used in the offense at all. But now, when he's being targeted, though, it's not getting home.
Mm-hmm.
Or it is a drop, or it's just a blown up play right now. You can't imagine that Ty Johnson, with the season that he had with the passing game last year, through six games has two receptions for 19 yards. And that James Cook, who has been very efficient, actually, 12 catches on 14 targets. Why are you not involving him more?
Yeah.
Because then you are threatening with, okay, maybe we are running the football here.
You're not giving away the game. To the whole advantage for the offense is the defense does not know what you're going to do.
And that's why I'm having less faith of what you mentioned here, of if they get Josh Allen a new toy, he can use it. My question is, will they?
803-0550, the number to call. Let's get back to the phones, and we promised at the break we'd go to Rich first, and we will do just that. Rich, how are we doing today?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. Look, what last night proved to us, when a 40-plus-year-old quarterback can throw for 300 yards, and then what Drake London did to us in the Atlanta game, what Diggs did to us in the New England game, is that, you know, everybody eats is a crap phrase that was made up by Bean because he's dead set on using possession-type receivers and not drafting speed. Right now, we need receivers with elite speed because – what that does is it stretches out the inter. We talk about the middle space in a cover two.
Right.
Well, guess what happens if you don't have elite speed? The safeties crash down and those windows close. And we don't have that right now. So the fact of the matter is we need to start to either draft or trade for some elite speed and start to, you know, open up the offense. And it just seems like each game that goes by, that window, that internal window in the middle of the field against cover two is getting squeezed more and more. We have nobody that can stretch that window open for Josh Allen, and that's why he's having to squeeze throws in, especially in the middle of the field. So, I mean, I called you guys up yesterday about Bean. I am so sick and tired of him, man. You know, the guy has lived off the fact that he basically drafted, you know, Josh Allen, put all the pressure on him. But until we get an elite receiver with speed and ability to run routes, which is, you know, Shakir, is a good route runner, but we've got nobody to stretch out the middle portion of a cover two zone, and we're going to continue to struggle against it. And you know what? You know, everybody runs the same concept, guys. You're talking about a smash concept against cover two, which hits the hole above the corner and in front of the safety. Everybody runs the same concept. The difference is it's the talent running the routes. It's receivers being able to get open or speed where the defense is intimidated and the safeties have to drop back.
Yeah, Rich, I think you're right on all that.
Rich, thank you.
That's why I bring up Rasheed Shaheed. It maybe doesn't necessarily mean he's going to have all of a sudden 9, 10 targets. It's not who he is, but it'll be enough to spread the defense out. I think that's maybe Xavier Worthy's best attribute to Kansas City. When he's on the field, you have to account for the fact that he is statistically the fastest guy in the NFL. You have to account for that. And that may also mean that they throw a deep ball that goes incomplete, but they threw it, and he was open. And now the safeties have to drop back.
The fact that you throw it means they have to worry about it.
And the Bills do not have that. Look, the Josh Palmer catch is great, and it looks awesome. But to Rich's point, they don't have anyone else that's beating the defense. They don't have anyone that's a speed option that is going to stretch a defense. Palmer was brought in to be that separation artist. That was the whole thing, is that maybe LA was underusing him. Look at his separation statistics. They look awesome. I have discovered, or at least I think many of us have discovered throughout the start of the season, is that those are super subjective. And for one, you know, advanced analytics department, they'll be like, hey, this guy separates like crazy. Like, this is awesome. The other one will be like, he's never separated a day in his life. He's still living with his parents. He's never separated from anybody. So there's a tough point there. And I think you can just look to speed, and that is an easy way to look at it. And that's something the Bills' offense has desperately needed literally for years. That was why many people were clamoring for Worthy at the time, kind of looking past the fact that he was, what, 170, 165.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Right.
I you know, I mentioned don't compare him to Tyreek Hill. He's 20 pounds lighter than him in Hill's rookie year.
Right.
But it was more the idea of, but look what he can offer you. And that's the same with Shaheed. You see some of these broken plays from defenses, and New Orleans, who is not good at deep balls. They're not. I mean, we talked with the reporter from New Orleans.
Right,
that was the whole thing, is that, hey, the offense actually isn't terrible. They just can't hit anything 15 plus yards down the field. You hope Allen. Not necessarily it's the 60-yard go balls. It's not that necessarily those. You've mentioned it. It's the middle of the field stuff. It's the quick passes you can get out. I'm not saying Allen's been infallible either. There have been moments as well he's not diagnosing blitzes correctly. He's not getting the ball out to guys that are open. This has been something we've all seen. He is at times looking for the big play, not taking what's in front of him. But the more toys you have in the toy chest, you know, the more options a guy has, the easier it's going to be. I think that's where, you know, everyone eats is not necessarily a crappy saying. I think, though, the Bills' feeling on it is that our quarterback is just going to make magic with some pretty good guys. Where my point is, and to Rich, where he started is, for Cincinnati, are they built perfect? No. But the way their offense is built, it's why a 41-year-old quarterback can go in there and target Ja'Marr Chase 23 times and T. Higgins 10 times and walk away looking pretty.
I mentioned
that's a lot on a lot of that is very much on Pittsburgh's defense. But he's 41 years old. He's been with those guys for 2 weeks.
I mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers, not the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Dallas Cowboys offense. They go ahead and they have CeeDee Lamb. They acquire George Pickens. They, for some reason, get rid of Micah Parsons. And if they didn't do that, I really think that they'd be a better team overall because they were worried about stopping the run. They can't do that either. But at least you can get home to the quarterback if you have Parsons there. But Dallas's offense also has that of, we have players, we're going to keep them getting open, but we're also going to feed these guys because they are talented, they are good. And that is something that you can go ahead and understand the core concept, understand the threat. But a talented player is going to make sure that things happen. I just keep looking, though, at what the track record has been for the Bills receivers under Joe Brady and wonder how much it's holding them back. If Allen is looking for the bigger play, he's not taking these easy things. That has to do with scheme too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a scheme that doesn't mesh with your quarterback.
Now, it is tough to say
Allen
though,
is a renegade.
But it is tough to say that because he did win the MVP last year.
He won the MVP last year. And yet his numbers were not where they usually are when he won said MVP. He won that MVP based on the narrative of they don't have enough talent around him.
And he's not turning the ball over. Look what he's doing with all these, you know, plumbers. I mean, that's essentially what the argument
turned into. And I didn't love that because it's bashing the rest of the roster. But that's what the media narrative went with him on that.
Maybe it's somewhat right, but
it might have been right, but I don't like doing it anyway. At least not for the case of an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at this guy. He's playing with a bunch of crap. And we should give him something for it. And it's like, that's not the right message. I know what you're trying to do, which is elevate the term valuable and most valuable player. But anyway, that's last year. But my issue still is that the offense, to me, the offensive scheme, and the general manager's ideology are what hold you back from that sort of, I would say not hold back, but it's where it conflicts with a quarterback that wants to be a goblin, that wants to play with his hair on fire sometimes. And I hear the head coach make public comments that they do need some speed.
Mm-hmm. He mentioned, I know Sneaky Joe brought this tweet
I don't
up
want
from
to
a
turn
few years ago, but why they added Emmanuel Sanders, quote, don't want to lose fastball.
And that's where I think if you're blaming the head coach, I think you're wrong-ish. I don't want to go fully into that, but like wrong-ish.
By the way, did Bean actually coin the term everyone eats? I thought that was Brady.
I thought that was Brady too.
I wasn't sure. Rich
Brady's
said
got
that,
a
and
hat
I'm like, was I wrong?
Brady's wearing clothing with it. Like,
yeah, but,
I don't think
that's...
No, but
I mean, but like last year, was it Brady or Bean that coined everyone eats?
I'm pretty sure it was Brady.
I thought it was.
I feel like it was.
Again, Rich said it, and I'm like,
but
it wasn't? I don't know.
But it also might have been an indirect rallying cry about Diggs leaving.
Oh, I mean, it absolutely was part of that. Absolutely was part of that.
And so I guess we'll need to look into the origination of it just to be sure. But I really believe it was Brady. But also, if it's the offensive coordinator that comes up with it after Diggs leaves, which is a boundary receiver, which they don't utilize... Do you see the hamster wheel I'm running on Zachary?
It's kind of crazy, though, looking at his career at LSU. I mean, he might fit the Big Ten. He might actually want to go to Penn State. But,
oh, my God.
It is kind of crazy, though, looking at what Brady was a part of. Where he makes his name is that 2019 LSU team that I would still argue is the most offensively talented team of all time. They go undefeated. They run everybody out of the building. Burrow to Chase to Jefferson. They're incredible. But that's them throwing the ball over the yard. That is maybe the perfect encapsulation of everybody eats. He's got a ton of talent, and they're just throwing the ball everywhere, and everyone's getting a piece of it. Randy Moss's son at tight end is catching touchdown passes in big-time games. Like, it didn't matter. Burrow throws for 60 touchdowns, but it seems like with the Bills, because you even look at Carolina, like they're throwing the ball over the yard, to the point where Matt Rule's like, we need to run the ball more. You're fired. But with the Bills, it's been very different. Where now, yeah, he does seem to have like a because you remember when they go get Curtis Samuel, the whole thing was he had his best year when Brady was the OC. It seems to just be with the Bills right now, they don't want to do that. They want to be different. Maybe this is, quote unquote, an evolution for Brady. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Maybe this is, I have stood on this for a while here. I think the everyone eats comes from the lack of talent, but they don't want to bash their own team, right? I mean, it's fair, but it's, hey, we don't have a number one anymore. We have a bunch of guys, but we have an MVP quarterback, and so everyone's going to get the ball. Anyone that's worth it is going to get the ball. But the problem is, not that long ago, they had something similar in John Brown and Cole Beasley and a bunch of guys. Duke Williams gets 10 targets in a playoff game, and they have to very quickly change their idea on it. Problem is where they're at now, Allen is paid heavily, and that's just the fact of the matter. The quarterback is going to get paid a ton because it's the most important position in sports, and this is where the draft has been so important and why it just boggles the mind. You know, going back to Ryan's call, I don't want to bash on the Jefferson Diggs thing because at the time it worked perfect for them to get Diggs, but yeah, you look at a guy like Keon Coleman, he doesn't fit your offense. He doesn't fit your quarterback. You did the long 50-50 jump ball guys for Allen before. It's not what he worked with. He worked with speed guys who got separation fast, and he could just kind of throw the ball over the yard. That's what worked. Coleman has not fit that. He never fit that coming out of Florida State. Now, I'm not going to bang the drum and say, I was always for Ladd McConkey. I wasn't. I was somebody that looked at him and thought, I think in the NFL he's going to be a slot guy. And ultimately, that has been proven to be false. He is kind of an everything guy. A little bit smaller, but an everything right. guy. I've openly acknowledged constantly, I'm an Adonai Mitchell guy. Now, he hasn't necessarily shown anything in the NFL, but I also think there could still be something there.
He shows flashes, but then, you know, he fumbles the ball out of the end zone and gets a holding call in the same game, and it's like, we got to bench him,
He also just drops, like, the easiest catches.
But, like, you turn into a game like the Rams game, though, and, like, the coaching staff's got to go, we got to bench him, right? Like, there's no choice.
He might be in this week, though, just because of all the injuries they have at receiver, namely Josh Downs as well. But
it's your redemption arc. Here you go.
I still look at some of this stuff and just think it's a talent issue that they're trying to overcome, and it's going to be a longer process because, yeah, like they're no longer at the phase they were when they traded for Diggs, when Allen was, well, ultimately very cheap. It's why the draft is so important. I hate saying it like this, but it's true. It's the cheap labor, and now with the way college football is transitioning to the NFL, you're not waiting 2-3 years for a guy to be very good. Look at the quarterback position maybe more than any of them. Guys staying in college longer – and then they come to the NFL, and they're somewhat ready-made. Jackson Dart looks like a good quarterback. Bo Nix, with the most starts in NCAA history. Kind of a finished product for Sean Payton.
Denver didn't blink twice.
Nope. That's kind of how it is, and it's the same with receivers. The talented receivers are coming in, hitting right away, and by year two are on fire. Jackson Smith and Jigba. Now we're at a point with Ohio State receivers. Just pick one.
But like you mentioned the quarterbacks thing. Penix, longtime starter with Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely are you seeing now like the players that are like your redshirt sophomores that are going into the league after maybe one full year of starting. That trend is going that way because you want your quarterbacks to be ready-made. You don't have time to wait anymore. You don't have the chance to see if the high athletic upside of an Anthony Richardson is going to be able to figure it out. The Colts, as a matter of fact, before the end of his rookie contract, moved on to Daniel Jones, and it's working. And it also, Daniel Jones is also giving you a little microcosm on time on task with the right situation might fix you, much how like Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield or even Geno Smith before he went back down in the tank.
But Daniel Jones is maybe the newest
generation. Daniel Jones
is
becoming the newest iteration of that. And maybe there is something to it. Time on task. You need to have guys that are ready to go immediately. You cannot make this slower transition nowadays because teams are not willing to wait anymore.
No. 803-0550, the number to call. Matt, Johnny, James, we'll get to your guys' calls when we come back. You're listening to Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, filling in for One Bills Live. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.